So by the time we were there, the beginning of 1930, my husband and I had a terrific argument one night. He was urging me to consider going into a shop in town, opening a place in town, and really beginning to get somewhere. There was no sense of working from here, where we had no front, no sort of prestige establishment, you know, and we figured we could get more money for our work if we had a reasonable place. He thought we should be right on South Bramble Street. That was the spot for an interior design place. And he says, just, you're such a stick in the mud, we'll be here forever if I don't make a move. He said, the rug's got a hole in it and there's no way we can replace it, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, there's no way we're going into a shop until Yuli goes to school in the fall. And if you can find somebody who's going to look after the store end of it, because there's no way I can run the workroom and go out on interior design jobs and be handling a shop as well. Ridiculous. He used to look after the business end of things and take care of deliveries and installation and draperies. That was his part of the job, you see. So he came home one day shortly afterwards and said, how would you like Mrs. Ferguson to join us? Oh, I said, we'd just done her small house. She had a duplex in the Granville area. And, oh, I said, she wouldn't want to come in with us. She's got a good job anyway. Oh, I said, don't you get these ideas and get stuck in your head? She's very interested. And he says, as a matter of fact, I've invited her to come out and see us one day next week and have dinner with us. So she came out, and the end result was that we opened the studio in the fall, first week in September, and she came in as a partner on a third shift. Gone through things very thoroughly in the summertime and taken stock, and decided that the business was worth $3,000 as extreme, the bit of stock we had in the machines and so on. And so she put in $1,000, which it cost us that to open the shop, you know, and get the fixtures put in and place painted and the rest of it. Well, then, from then on, it was just one big struggle for a few years just to hang on. She had a private income and she wasn't dependent on her job. And at Christmas we lost $1,600, and she was all for quitting, just packing it in. We'd lost $1,600, and she was all for throwing in the sponge, and we said there was no way. We simply had to keep going somehow. Well, we reduced our salaries to $80 a month each, and we even didn't collect that, believe me. We put it down in our books, but we didn't collect it. And at one point through the years, we had about $4,000 worth of back salary that we hadn't collected. This was in pre-war days.
This is for yourself, your husband, and Mr.
Yes,
Mrs. Ferguson.
We drew $80 a month each. Well, she actually didn't contribute an awful lot in the way of work, because she didn't know anything about interior design. She was a woman and had very good taste. She was well educated and all that sort of thing. And she had quite a number of friends that she did bring the occasional job in through social contacts, but not very much. And she was quite knowledgeable about antiques. And she'd been running a gift shop in the Georgia Hotel for the owner. And so we put in a few odds and ends of things like that, vases and so on, mainly vases that we could turn into lamps. So anyway, it was decided that we'd simply have to cut our expenses somehow. Well, we had them pretty low before, but we didn't have the window cleaned anymore. My husband did that. We let the cleaning woman go, and Mrs. Ferguson vacuumed the rug in the shop and so forth, and did the dusting and the rest of it. And the girls in the workshop took care of the workshop being kept clean. And that reduced our expenses a little bit, and we just simply hung on, you know, for what we're worth.
How large a staff did you have in the workroom? How large a staff did you have in the workroom?
Well, at the time we pulled out of here, we had five, and I think we added a man to work on the upholstery kind of thing. Previous to that, I've been doing the upholstery as well, and only taking work that I, you know, was able to do. I didn't make any new furniture to them.
So you opened on September the 1st, 1930.
That's right.
And by Christmas you were going to the
well,
bed already.
Well, in 1932, Mrs. Ferguson became ill, and she was away. She was never back after that. I did mention the one time that my husband had been so depressed because we haven't been able to pay the staff. I mentioned that before, didn't I?
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you some of the questions. Did you ever have to lay any of the staff off?
Not entirely. We had them for the odd day, you know, first one and then another. But we never actually closed the workroom down. Right. We just kept going somehow. But it was quite difficult because the big stores were cutting prices like crazy. And on top of that, at one point we were put on a COD basis by the people back east. You know, all our stuff came from back east. And there were very, very few agencies in town. I think there were three small ones we used to place orders through. But all the stuff came from the east, and it's still the end of the line, as it were, as far as the manufacturers and the agencies are concerned, back east. I never felt that we really get a good square deal, you know, as far as having access to all those things. Except, of course, the big stores, they send their buyers down to Toronto and send them overseas and so on. And but for the small man who can't do that kind of thing, they're dependent on the agencies here and the travellers who come through twice a year. Some of them only come once. And at that time, there were three agencies we did business with. And the previous week to this happening, the three big firms had gone bust here. Standard Furniture, the corner of Hemmerkin and Granville, were a big outfit. They had a big drapery department. In fact, we had been at times doing eiderdowns for them. They told my husband that $35,000 worth of money owing to them by quite ordinarily wealthy people who were in bad shape because lumber and grain and everything else was way down, you know. And some of the lumber people were having a perfectly dreadful time. And incidentally, during this time, we quit taking the newspaper because we couldn't bear to look at the headlines. There was so much of that really was so depressing to read, and get a paper one day with a headline about somebody having committed suicide and somebody jumped off a balcony, and, you know, people who you thought of as being well-to-do, well, they were in a sense. They maybe got a large house and beautifully furnished, but their money was non-existent, the income wasn't coming in. So there were many of them in really bad shape, and of course the doctors and dentists and lawyers weren't collecting their bills because of this. It was just a vicious circle.